Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it and must be 21 years or older.
Let me begin with condolences to every Niners fan out there. We feel your pain. Hi and hello, and welcome to Extra Points, presented as ever by Omaha. Let's dig into that and what we should do with ourselves now that football is over. Let's do it with the roastest, with the mostest. It's Sarah Tiana. How are you? How was your Super Bowl Sunday, first of all, Sarah?
Super Bowl Sunday was really chill. Like I said, the Eisens have three kids, so I had three babysitters. Mm-hmm. I watched the third quarter in the hot tub, which was nice. I didn't really feel any stress, which is also nice. I mean, I was a little stressed out in the fourth quarter, but yeah, good food, good people. It was pretty chill. How was yours?
It was great. Probably even more chill. There were no hot tubs or celebrities involved. Just me and Jean-Claude Van Damashek on the couch eating some spicy Italian and meatball subs and watching another heartbreaker for the Niners. It really is sort of like we talked about with our pal, the Dutch Mook, a couple few weeks ago during the Niners run. It's been 30 years since they've won a title. And we imagine, or we perceive, the Niners to be one of the haves in pro football. But it's kind of like, as he pointed out, and I thought really captured it. What if you were born, what if you're like a 35-year-old Niners fan at this point? It's like you get kind of to bask in the past glory, but it's a little bit like being the kid with your dad and uncles, and they're all drinking real beers and talking about stuff. It's like, you can sit with us too, non-alcoholic. Or maybe you give him like one little sip so it keeps him around, but he's not really, doesn't really have a seat at the table. Is that right, Sarah?
Yeah. I mean, my godson is 21 and he's a diehard Niners fan. And I feel so bad for him. Like, he moved up there. He's going to college up there so he can be closer to the stadium. And I'm just like, oh, like, I feel bad. I hope it doesn't ruin him as a sports fan. But at least he has the Warriors. He's still a Golden State Warriors fan. So like, at least he has that. But like, you know, I know what it feels like to lose a Super Bowl. It's devastating. It takes a real toll.
Wonder if that's ever happened. That, you know, you hear people, you know, all the stupid performative crap of when your team loses, the videos the next morning of people breaking their 50-inch flat screens and all of that crap. But I wonder if anybody ever, I mean, it has to have happened in man's recorded history, that someone just was like, that's it. I can't be a fan of the team anymore. They hurt my feelings too much with that loss. And now I'm moving to another team. I don't know of anybody who's actually done that. But anyhow, the Super Bowl is over. I do want to talk about your reaction to it. I also want to talk about, like I say, happy Valentine's Day. And okay, Tiana, when we wrapped up the other day or a week ago, you floated that you want to kind of fill these things in here, that these hours you have that are footballless now, with the puck. And, you know, I love hockey. Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass over there, he loves hockey too. So with it being Valentine's Day, I think it'll be a neat exercise to see if we can help our Southern sports fans fall in love with the puck. So we'll do that in just a few minutes here. First, though, let's introduce our guest today, shall we? He is an Eagles fan. So the 31 have nots right now. He is a San Antonio Spurs fan. He's the co-creator of Tosh.0. You can catch him at Cap City in Austin on April 10th, the day after Mo Damashek's birthday. What that matters, I have no idea. I just am a weirdo who had to mention it. Anyway, we're talking about Eddie Gosling. How are you, man? Thanks for joining us today.
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. I'm going to adjust. I've waited to do this now. Adjust my cameras.
Adjust your camera now, everybody. Nice.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Well,
you
for
also
sure
know what it's like to lose a Super Bowl, right, Eddie?
Like last year. I haven't, me and my wife have a podcast, and we haven't done one since Super Bowl week of last year.
No.
Yeah. And it was still a 3-point loss. And that horrible defensive holding call on Bradbury still haunts me to this day. Barely touched the guy, but it gave Andy Reid the ball and just ate the clock. And he kicks the field goal. And if they kick the field goal earlier, maybe we get the ball back and, you know, win the game. But we never got a chance. But we did beat the Chiefs this year in Kansas City. So I do feel like we're second place, third place at least.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Keep telling yourself that one. That'll make you feel better through these upcoming lean years, lean months. For the listener out there, Eddie's wearing a Philadelphia Phillies ball cap. This feels like a double attack to jump into the show here, Tiana. Tiana's most hated team in sports is your team, Eddie. You understand that. I'm no Phillies fan either. I don't like Philadelphia sports, period.
Wait, I didn't know you didn't like Philadelphia, Sarah. I apologize.
Hat
on every time I see you.
You know, he does it on purpose. I know he does it. I know. You know,
I just grab a hat that's close by and this just happens. Yeah. It's a good looking hat, though. When I was in Cincinnati, the guys at the gas station were like, that hat is popping.
That is a nice one. And it is, again, to describe it, it's the powder blue, more maroon kind of Phillies era hat, the one that Tug McGraw and company,
Von
the
colors Hayes,
they were wearing when they were, when they were celebrating.
When they were good.
Come on now. It starts. It's already starting. Bye, guys. It was great being here. See you in Austin, everybody.
Well, I do want to talk about this because you guys both, as Falcons fans and Eagles fans, are in a better spot than I, the Steelers fan, am in, because Patrick Mahomes is on my side of the bracket. Now, people make themselves feel better in Buffalo and Baltimore and now Los Angeles by saying Cincinnati too. People kind of forgotten. It is weird how football season goes. I feel like everybody has completely forgotten about the existence of Joe Burrow. He was only guy. Yeah. I mean, he actually played games in the regular season, but somehow his lack of participation has rendered him not in the conversation anymore. Of course, had he been in there, that would have mucked up the bracket even further for Mahomes and Josh. But the takeaway, as always happens after a Super Bowl, is like, what should the other 31 teams learn from the reigning champ now? And now it's such a severe reaction to it. It's like, hey, good luck if you don't have Patrick Mahomes. That's basically the message that the bulk of the media is delivering now. It's like, well, what are we supposed to do as Patrick Mahomes? I submit that Patrick Mahomes isn't going to win the next 8 Super Bowls. I don't know if that's a hot take or not. So let's start with you, Eddie. How many? Also, though, there is only one Lombardi given out at the end of the tournament every year. Right. And yet Tony Romo sits in the booth and he's like, oh, that guy's got nothing to hang his head about. He's going to get more shots at this thing. There's more opportunity. He's going to be back in the big game. Like, mathematically, that's highly unlikely because they only put 2 teams in there and they all want to. And Josh Allen has to beat Lamar Jackson, who has to beat Patrick Mahomes, who has to beat Justin Herbert, and so on. So the math doesn't allow for all the good quarterbacks to win even one Super Bowl. So Philadelphia Eagles, a year ago, it felt like they got their guy in Jalen Hurts, the team, Howie Roseman, he can do no wrong. How many Super Bowls will the Eagles win in the next 10 years?
The next 10 years. I mean,
10 years.
If I'm being honest, 10 probably.
Okay.
Yeah, I really feel like with the new coordinators coming in, that's all we needed. We just need somebody to take away all the play calling responsibilities from Sirianni. And I think 8 to 10. I'll be cautious. 8 to 10.
Fair. I mean, yeah, you're being a little bit tough on it. You can't win them all, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, no, honestly, there's going to be a couple seasons like we just had. But, I mean, Jason's going to come back, and he's going to play for 10 more years.
Oh, good.
I think Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham are going to stick around for 10. It's just kind of working out for us. I can feel it.
How long do you think he sticks around, Sirianni? Like, talk about Tiana, like, who is that guy in recent sports memory who was the belle of the ball in a sports town and is now like, I feel only people who are like sort of sober, kind of very conservative sports fans in Philly are like, you can't fire the guy a year after he got us to the Super Bowl. And so it's like, it would be irrational to fire him. But that set aside, that reality that is fair, it's like, I feel like nobody likes him anymore in Philadelphia. Is that true? Tiana, do you remember anybody who's had such a fall from grace in a year like this?
First of all, I called it at the beginning of the year. I said the Eagles are trash and Sirianni is nothing without Steichen and Gannon. And I was right.
True.
Sirianni that got them to the Super Bowl. It was Steichen and Gannon. And you know, Colleen Wolf sat here and she goes, oh, but Jalen Hurts, football coach growing up, his QB coach from Alabama is going to be his offensive coordinator. Yeah, that didn't work out. And so, I'm interested to see how the Eagles look. Obviously, I like Jalen Hurts a lot. I don't have any hate in my soul for that man. He is beautiful to look at.
Is he?
Beautiful to watch. Yeah. Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is beautiful to look at?
Yeah, he's a pretty sharp looking dude. I think so.
He's beautiful to look at. And
this is a new one in Dave's world. I love when I find somebody who I didn't know, you know, was handsome. When somebody announced, oh, he's handsome. This is a perfect example. Eddie Spaghetti, check this one as a reminder for me. This is the latest. Like Jimmy G is my most famous one. I didn't know he was handsome until people told
me. My point is that he's not just handsome to look at. He surrounds himself by women. And that makes him also very attractive to other women. Like his manager is a woman, his publicist, his agents, like everybody that manages his career is a woman. You know, he loves his mama. So like, he's a hottie.
Shouldn't a woman tell him that the goatee is out of style in 2024?
Well, I think he just had to change some stuff up because he was like, something's not working. Let me just do whatever. You know, it's the way Kelsey's beard is like, you know, like Eddie's beard right now. It's like, I'm sure he's going to shave it now that they finally won and it's over. But no matter what, look, I'm shocked that Sirianni was on the hot seat so fast, but it doesn't really, you know, I could see him getting fired midseason next year if they if they don't start off good.
Right.
They better come out of the gate winning if they want Sirianni around.
His physical appeal notwithstanding with Jalen Hurts, though, I know this is a severe and wild take, and I wouldn't suggest. I saw somebody suggest around the Pittsburgh Steelers that they should trade T.J. Watt to get one of the top two picks in the draft because quarterback is everything, and a young quarterback specifically on a rookie deal. Jalen Hurts is now getting paid out, and I know this is a ridiculous thing, but where do you come down on this? Eddie, go first. Who's going to win more Super Bowls in the next decade? The combo of Jalen Hurts. Let's include Jalen Hurts in this. Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. Who's going to win in the next 10 years? Those three or three guys who aren't in the NFL yet?
If I'm a betting guy, I'd have to say those three because they've proven they can win. You know, I don't know who's coming out. Like, you just so many variables when they're coming out of college.
But they haven't proven they can win. They've proven they can win a lot of games, but not win the last game of the year.
But even like getting there, it's like it's so tough to even get there, right? To get out of your division and to have that first week of being like, you know, the home team where you don't even have to play. And I don't know. Caleb Williams he's going to be an amazing quarterback, but is he going to be able to like get, what team is he going to go to that's going to have to like dig it out for? He might go someplace that's so bad, and for the like first, his rookie contract is just like, it just looks painful to watch him play.
What do you say, Tiana?
I would say that a rookie quarterback is less likely to win in the next 10 years than those guys. You know, I think the AFC is totally stacked with quarterbacks. I think that's intentional because everyone's just trying to get through Mahomes. So I think that's valid. I don't think Caleb Williams is going to be as great as everybody says. I don't think he's the answer. I think most quarterbacks are a scratch-off ticket. I think Bo Nix is more fun to watch, honestly. I think Justin Fields has a really good chance if he gets out of Chicago to make a significant,
I think our teams
play
are going to fight over him. Maybe.
I think our teams are fighting over him.
I think they were
really
both at least going to submit offers. I don't know how rich they're willing to make the offer, at least on the Pittsburgh side. But I have now made my formal announcement. I am willing to offer up as much as a second round pick in 2024. That's as far as I'm going, though. This isn't a tactic for me.
I know.
Don't get back to me, Bears, on this.
I don't think he's like, I don't think he's worth a phenomenal amount. Not yet. I think he's on a he would be on a prove it deal. But I do think he's from Atlanta. I think we have a really good chance. I think Raheem Morris is a really good offensive coach. I trust him to make a good decision when it comes to quarterback. I just think he fits in the Atlanta scheme because we have three great receivers, just like he has in Chicago now. And we have an incredibly great running game. So we have three running backs right now, you know, if we don't have to lose one of them to trade for him. Anyway, I think I think Justin Fields has a lot, a tremendous upside. I think any rookie in the draft has downside if they are a scratch off ticket and you just don't know what you're going to get. And that scratch off ticket has to be in the hands of someone who knows, you know, what to do with the money. Does that make sense? Like
completely.
I think you get placed.
You know, is Zach Wilson a better quarterback if he goes to San Francisco than since he went to the Jets? You know what I mean? Like there's so many variables and there's so many different ways that a coach can get talent out of you. And these guys just have not had the proper amount of talent gotten from them.
I agree. It's a, you know, right. It's a 60-40 prop bet that you're making on a rookie QB, but I am blindly my question is I'm giving you three known guys who have what between them, three MVPs, or two MVPs and some close calls.
Lamar has two himself.
Right. So I guess it is just two. It's just two total. But anyway, three guys who've been in contention for it over the last handful of years. But I say that they're collectively unlikely to win a Super Bowl, less likely at least than blindly saying anybody not yet in college. And my evidence is Patrick Mahomes. 10 years ago, who knew who Patrick Mahomes was other than the pitcher for the Twins and many other big league ball clubs? His son arrived and took over football, which was declared impossible to ever catch Tom Brady. Yeah. And now here we sit and everybody has declared, oh, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is inevitable and he is going to catch Brady. And even if he doesn't catch him in terms of total Lombardi wins, he's already better than him and all that stuff. So I definitely think you're more likely to see some kid who we maybe don't know yet. Maybe it's Shedeur Sanders for all I know. Anyway, I was curious.
Shedeur's fun, but I could see if Patrick Mahomes keeps winning, I could see somebody in the league sending Tanya Harding in there to ensure that Patrick Mahomes doesn't play all year. And I don't want that to happen. I'm not endorsing that. I'm just saying that, like,
okay. Now let's look back at the Super Bowl, and you lead us into it neatly here. When you talk about violence, athletes, all of that, Travis Kelce. Running into your beloved Travis Kelce, and I love him too, but in the moment I thought, oh my God, what in hell, when I saw that, the rage on his face and everything. And then I immediately calmed down, like, thank goodness that he bumped into Andy Reid, who's gonna let this go, but most coaches would not. How say you, Tiana, when you saw that?
It reminds me of when I can't find my phone and I'm so mad, and then I realize it's in my hand and I'm like, I'm an idiot. You know what I mean? I think that Travis is intense. He wants to be out there for every play. He wants to play. I didn't take it negatively. I honestly thought him throwing the helmets and stuff during the Ravens game, Justin Tucker's helmets, was more offensive than running into Andy Reid. You know what I mean? They have that relationship. They've been together for a really long time. I think they know each other very well. They know each other's limits, you know? Travis has been kind of a hothead all season. I think there's lots more eyes on him now than ever before. And so the stakes are a little bit higher for him, but I wasn't personally offended by it. I don't think that he's a mean-spirited guy for real.
That was the other part of the equation for me, was like, I don't think Travis Kelce, the rage in his eyes, notwithstanding, he doesn't present to me as somebody who is endangering this old man.
I think he just thought if he was out there, he would have been able to recover the ball.
Yeah, fair. Eddie, how say you, though? Because your team, Big Dom, got into it and was banned from the sidelines. AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts have had their stuff going. in this season. So from that perspective, what did you make of Travis Kelce running into your old head coach?
Yeah, I was surprised. And then I was like, oh, whatever. He's passionate. They're both like, and Andy was so funny because he didn't even see him coming, just focused on the game. He's got his big menu out and he's looking at the plays he's going to run. And he's sturdy. He's a sturdy guy. He can take a little bit of a bump, right? He's not going to go, he was like, what's going on? And then just right back into the game. And, you know, Travis knew maybe, I think Travis in the moment was like, all right, I bumped him. I'm going to walk off a little bit. But I would say, it just seems like, you know, this is the Super Bowl. They're in the heat of the moment. He's just kind of like, he's coming at him with a lot of passion. And I think Andy kind of appreciates that because that's the effort he gets from Travis out there anyways. On the field, the memes that have come out of it, though, have been amazing. Like, yeah, if it's worth it for that. Just seeing like the photo of them two together and just the different dialogue back and forth that they've placed on both of those people. It's been pretty, pretty fun.
Oh, yeah. Like Beyonce's coming out with a country album while my girlfriend's watching this game. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like, even like it's reached to like the groups of people that, like I play a little Dungeons and Dragons from now on, you know, from time to time. And there's a, like, even in that world, there's memes of this and like it's touched their world. Professional football is into the Dungeons and Dragons people. Like somebody's like, oh, you enter a dark cavern and then Travis is screaming, my character has dark vision. So it's just like in their world, it kills them. It's a crack up. But at the same time, it's like, how do they even know these people that are out there? Like, it's just, for that alone, I think it was worth it. Right.
I think we could update that now. Taylor Swifties. And Dungeons and Dragons people all on board with Travis Kelce. I like that. That's a message for society, isn't it?
Everyone was
a silly
watching.
Grouping.
Literally.
Yeah, I mean, right. It was like the highest rated or most viewed Super Bowl ever, or?
As we predicted, right, Tiana? We said it would be. We said everybody announcing that they love America too much to watch the Super Bowl would be washed away by all the Swifties and then some. And now we have the highest
129 million.
It's a crazy number. It's a crazy number. Now, along with watching it on TV, you get the ads. I feel like 15 years ago, there was that cottage industry of the media covering the ads was greater than it is now. It was such a phenomenon. Tiana, what stood out to you? I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about the ads, if you want to talk about halftime show, the run-up to the big game. How say you? What did you make of Super Bowl Sunday as a media consumer?
Oh, I found it all very entertaining. Reba singing the national anthem, hitting the over because she took a second. She took a pause and then did another, and then they did the cutaway. And, oh, she was so great. I thought Usher was fine. I wasn't blown away by Usher the way some people were. I was just like,
I'm curious, are you an Usher fan at any point in your life? Oh, you are? Okay.
I'm from Atlanta. So you grew up loving Usher. You're like, he's our local boy.
Okay.
I don't know. I thought I was going to like it way more. Maybe my expectations were just too high, but I thought the roller skating and stuff was really cool and the way that how they set that up so fast. And he did a costume change, which I love when a man does a costume change. I'm like, yes. And I think my favorite commercial was the Kia commercial where the girl was ice skating. Like she missed her grandpa up there in the rink. He couldn't come watch her skate. So they drove the Kia up the mountain and then she ice skated on the pond in front of his window and he writes a little 10 on the, I'm like, So yeah, I think
it's great that you just selected that one because what occurs to me, Eddie, I said this to Sarah before we started the show. It's a lament of mine now. The last couple of weeks, it's been really recurringly hitting my brain. We have now traded out as an entertainment industry, actual idea having clever idea having with book one of these 29 celebrities, or there's no point to moving forward with the project, whether it's a commercial, a movie, or a TV show. And this is not an indictment of Kevin Hart or The Rock or Pete Davidson or a short list of other people that I can't do off the Shaq is probably in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. But it is, like I say, it's a group of like 2.5 dozen people that it's like, here's a great idea. They're like it. Who's attached to it is the question you now get from everybody. And it's like, oh, well, it's got to get a celebrity or else there's no merit in it. How say you, Eddie?
Yeah, you like Matt Damon and Batman being in the commercial.
I mean, by the way, it's not an indictment of any of the quality of, I thought that was one of the, I thought the Michael Cera was funniest. I thought the Affleck and Damon thing was funny, but it is the preponderance of like, it's got to have a celebrity or it has no value kind of vibe.
Tom Brady was also in that commercial.
That's yeah, right. Tom Brady is also in our group of 29, by the way. Yeah, he definitely is in that group of 29 now.
Oh, yeah.
But it used to be such a big deal where they're like, it costs, you know, $10 million to get 1 minute at the Super Bowl in an ad. It was a big, like Doritos used to have that big contest where people could like win, you know, if they made these super right. or they made these commercials for the Super Bowl on the fly. And my friend won one year. And it was like, it was such a big deal that it was like, it just didn't seem like it's that anymore. And the ice skating one, I don't know if you saw, did you see the one they played at the end of the, like after the Super Bowl, they had like where the grandpa wanted to skate and he went out there on the ice and fell through. And it was like, it wasn't as, I felt bad. I didn't, it was a dark twist to it. I don't know if they, that's I don't weird. Know if they did what they were trying to do, but it was, yeah.
What's the message? Go jump in a lake, America. Football season's over.
Well, the little girl goes back out on the ice. She goes back out on the ice and she traces in the grandpa's underneath the frozen lake and she goes, I get my inheritance now. She wrote it on the ice and it was just, he's like, but
beautiful.
So sad.
It's all big setup for September when that grandpa reemerges as Captain America.
Comes out of the lake.
Captain America.
Or Jason from the Friday the 13th films.
Sure.
Either way, it's started to really drive me batty. This the direction of idea having now is takes a backseat to obviously is one of the have nots in this equation. That's where this is. That's
I mean, honestly, like the idea of just having somebody in it that is recognizable is not really the best idea, right?
That's the vibe. That's the vibe I'm getting. Let me squeeze in a quick break here.
You know, when the conversation turns stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up. OmahaFull. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager. Returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So, Eddie, you're also, as we transition and look for activities beyond pro football now, and we'll talk to Sarah in just a second about her dipping her toe into the frozen pond of hockey. You're also a Spurs fan. Where are you on Wembanyama? And are you enjoying that experience, one? And two, what does success, how should I say?
Who is he related to? Kumbayama? Wembanyama.
Victor Wembanyama.
Wembanyama. Wembanyama.
Sure.
Well, very close. Close. We know who you're talking about. Wemby. Slender Man.
Wemby.
He needs, I just say Wemby. He needs, he's easier with Watt. Four letter last names is easier Watt. For Dave.
Mean Joe. Jack Splat. That's my language. Everything. Yeah. You guys are all getting too fancy.
Steelers fans are simple.
Our city is named after a hole in the ground. What do you want? So Eddie, what does Wemby, what does success look like in the NBA with Wemby as you sit and watch him? I mean, I assume a title in the next decade is a requirement, right? For it, this to be a successful venture.
Yeah. And I think also like in the, before that title, if we can get free agents that just want to come to San Antonio and play with Wemby, that's kind of always like, that means he's really something to those guys too. Cause it's hard to get like, not since Richard Jefferson came there, have we really pulled, I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge, there's been a couple of people, a few through trades, but nobody really just chooses to go to San Antonio unless they're kind of drafted or they just, I mean, they want to play for Pop, but he's kind of, you know, he's a hard coach to play for maybe from time to time. But Wemby, I definitely think in the next 10 years, I think you're going to want to have a couple titles to say it wasn't like flash in the pan type of player. I mean, he's amazing. Like last night, triple double.
I guess I'm trying. I'm obviously fixated on a few subjects as we have this conversation. But like I if you're a Bills fan right now, if you're a Ravens fan, has your team been successful with Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson? I don't know how to calculate that. And people then say, oh, they got bad luck. They happen to be in the league with Patrick Mahomes. It's like, by that measure, Brett Favre was unlucky too, because he was with Steve Young and Troy Aikman. That will always be true that there are other good players in the league. So I don't know. As I say, I submit my hyperbolic question. Like I almost would rather the unknown of guys that haven't been drafted yet versus those guys, although you don't give away the known entity. Anyway, I'm fascinated by all that subject. Also by the city of San Antonio. Isn't it like the sixth biggest city in America?
You mean land-wise or person?
In population.
I mean, the area is pretty, I think so. I think because it's always one, and like LA is the same way. It's like so spread out that you just gather so many for the populace. I think San Antonio is kind of like top 10, but then the TV market's not.
Oh, it's not, because I like, it's the same phenomenon with Houston, which is, if you say LA, I have visions of what it is long before I ever visited it. I know what LA kind of looks like in my, mm-hmm. in my head. Chicago, same thing. Philadelphia, same thing. I don't have any outside of the Riverwalk or whatever that thing is. I have no vibe of San Antonio, what it looks like.
Don't you dare disrespect.
I'm not disrespecting any. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, there's a Walgreens right next to the Alamo. Okay. So,
oh, yeah, the Alamo's there. Right.
Oh, the Alamo is there. That's right.
Remember? That's right. He's the one that forgot the Alamo.
I did forget the Alamo.
Yeah, you forgot it. Come on.
I've done it again. It is a weird, but is it a, if you're Wemby and you're saying like, hey, I don't know who the free agents are going to be this offseason, but like, hey, join us here. We got something cool going. It's like, yeah, except then I have to live in San Antonio, or is it an asset to that recruitment? Like, wait till you see this town.
It's a nice, fun, quiet town. Like if you go visit San Antonio as a, you know, you're visiting someplace, you're probably going for 2 to 3 days. You could probably take in a lot of the downtown stuff. You know, there's good barbecue. There's good, like, you know, Mexican food. There's the missions and stuff that are around, which is kind of cool to see, kind of like the Alamo. But, you know, it's a, if you've got a player that, like, Tim Duncan would have been a perfect example of somebody who didn't really care about LA or New York or that vibe, where he could just go there, chill, do his thing, and then not really, he doesn't really go out and do stuff. He plays video games. So, I mean, like, you got to find some nerds. You got to find basketball nerds.
Did Wemby, I know he was drafted there, but do you think part of him is like, I'm going to now be the most French player to come out of San Antonio, and Tony Parker can...
I never even considered the pipeline of France.
He played for Tony Parker's pro team in France. So they do have, they like have a relationship going back. So like me and my son were following this for a couple of years before he came out. Like Tony's got his ear, man. He really wanted to go to San Antonio because of Tony Parker. And Tony Parker brought the NBA to a huge part of, like, and then Boris Diaw is there. Like there is a couple French cats on that team that were really good, that like Wemby was like 16, maybe 15, just watching these guys do it. So I don't know, man, that's a pretty, I think international players kind of do enjoy San Antonio's vibe.
Ginobili.
Absolutely. And then you have like, even like the big, we always have like these big kind of like dudes from the Ukraine play center. Like they'll get dunked on so like violently, but they don't care because there's no posters in their country. They don't know being posterized is a big thing. They're just like, they just play the game, and they turn and they run back up the court, and you know, they play a nice solid 8 points, 12 rebounds, 4 blocks kind of a game.
That's going to be the ultimate, by the way, for this generation that is just launching now for NBA players. Getting posterizing Wemby is going to be the all-time greatest poster of all, that guy and you dunking over him. But I have to say again, I think this is the weirdest thing to be ashamed of. Like, you contested the shot close to the rim. Like, oh, that was I look like a heel, don't I? Like, what? When it was getting falling down when you get crossed over, that's embarrassing. Jumping up the 7 foot guy to try and block his shot when he's throwing it at the rim is like, no shame in not blocking that, right?
Like, you're trying to like block this guy's shot. He's like 3 feet over the rim. There's no way you're getting up there. But just the attempt to try to do it is kind of brave, dare I say. And also, it's not poster. I think you're getting gift now, right? Because you end up a gif where they just keep showing him jamming it on you. And you're like, just back and forth.
The gif that keeps on giving.
It is.
at least. Let's be current, shall we? In our references, I like that.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I also like too is, I hope will happen with Wemby and speaking French. Do you remember Ronnie Cicely, the center from Greece, who played at Syracuse and then toiled in the NBA for the Heat and other teams? But he spent enough time in New York as a Greek man. He came over, he didn't know English, and then he learned English, but he learned it with a New York accent. I think that'd be super funny if Wemby had a Western accent.
Like a twang on it? Way.
Y'all.
Ronnie Cycli became a DJ too. Cycli's a really good like DJ. He became that was the Miami side of it. He learned how to talk in New York, and then you know, electronic dance music in Miami. What a weird world for him to take back to Greece.
New Yorkie by way of Greece, NBA / DJ superstar. Maybe the most accomplished human being of the last 50 years, now that I consider it.
Also, we don't know for sure, but Kawhi Leonard might be French. Like, nobody's ever heard him talk. He could be French, too.
Yeah. Same goes for Tim Duncan.
Kawhi.
Yeah.
I mean, Virgin, there's a good podcast. Richard Jefferson used to have a podcast, and the only time you'll ever hear Tim Duncan, it's like a 45 to 50 minute podcast where he goes on Richard Jefferson's podcast and they just talk. And it's like, it's so entertaining. Off the Dribble? No. I forget the name of the podcast. They don't do it anymore.
No.
But it was good.
No. Yeah. I can't imagine him uttering his. And even there, learned it by watching you, Pop. Pop doesn't like talking either. He doesn't. Anybody puts a microphone near him, he acts like a creep too. This is a whole thing. They should change their name to the Mutes. San Antonio Mutes.
It's scary to go to Pop for a quote.
Yeah. I like it when Pop gives his opinion though. Like whenever something happens in America, you're like,
Oh yeah.
He doesn't like talking about basketball.
Steve Kerr, Pop, let's ask him.
He'll talk at length on other things, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, Kerr and Pop are two of the very best in that regard. And now a quick break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay. Now listen. Let's Eddie help us out here. Both okay. Eddie's. Eddie Spaghetti. I'm sorry, Sarah. I'm not doing this in a romantic, not like in a Jalen Hurts kind of a way. But I want you to look into Eddie Spaghetti's eyes right now.
Okay.
On Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. Don't look at the man, Eddie Spaghetti. He is the face of hockey fandom in the 21st century. Do you like what you see? Because that could be you. If you're willing to make a commitment.
To be the face of hockey fandom like Eddie Spaghetti?
Are you willing to be the face of hockey, Sarah?
Yeah, I think I have too many teeth to be the face of hockey. But I do like the cold. So I love hockey. I love going to hockey games. Mm-hmm. I was a season ticket holder for the Kings for a while. Some friends that played. One of my very good friends was a goalie for the Flames. And now he's on TSN in Canada. And he always gives me updates, you know, and so I feel like I have this proximity to hockey, but I haven't really embedded myself in it. There was one guy, Eddie, there was one guy on the Ducks who had the last name that sounded like it was fawn. What is a duck? A duck is a fowl. Right?
Fowl?
Pam mm-hmm. Fowler, yeah.
There you go.
We got Mia. There. We could
on
be
on our way.
$1,000 pyramid. But I was that's clever. A foul.
Impromptu, let's do it. Eddie and Sarah Tiana, hockey newbies. Here we go. One of the great parts of the NHL over every other organized league is the names. it's very confusing because it is truly a global sport. And sometimes the names hit your ear weird and you can't tell if we're talking about an NHL player or a prescription drug. That's right. It's time for NHL player or prescription drug. Here we go.
Okay. Bing, bing, bong. We got music. Okay. I'm ready. Eddie Gosling gets to play too?
Yes.
Okay.
Capolita. Capolita. Is that a prescription drug or is it a burly winger for the Dallas Stars?
Oh, I was going to guess the team.
Burly winger, Victor Capolita.
I'm going to say Dallas Stars.
Okay.
Yeah, you gave a first name, so I'm going to say Stars also.
Okay. You know what? I think the way we play this, Eddie Spaghetti, going forward is I can't tell you whether you're right or wrong until we're done, because then it impacts how you regard your future answers, because you're like, well, the last one was that, so this time it'll be the other. Okay. I'm just going to give you two here. Akira Schmid. Eddie, you go first. Is Akira Schmid a prescription drug for restless leg syndrome, or is it a goalie for the New Jersey Devils? Akira Schmid.
I'm going goalie.
Okay. Sarah?
I have restless legs, so I know that's not a medication, so it has to be a goalie.
We found her, America, the person who is watching those commercials who has restless leg syndrome.
I've had it since I was 29. It was very young to get it.
So what is that, Sarah? Like the legs, just they start.
Actually a neurological disorder, and it's your brain misfiring. So it feels like the muscles in your legs are twisting and tightening, and then they'll just snap and release. So you'll just jump, and it wakes you up all night. And so you're super cranky. So you have to take this
restless leg syndrome.
Yeah. I know. It's a terrible name for a really bad disease that's like a cousin of Parkinson's.
Yeah, it sounds like a joke.
It sounds made up.
Right.
Yeah, it sounds
I've always called it the jiggity legs. When I get in bed and then I can't fall asleep after enough time, I declare I've got the jiggity legs. Like, I got to get up. Like, I got too much going. Yeah. And I've always
assumed what you have. You can also drink tonic water. Tonic water is like a household remedy for it.
I use the other household remedy, also a drink. I drink booze. That also helps me a lot.
That really helps.
Something with the tonic water.
That's right. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Your legs only really go crazy on the booze when you're being chased by the cops from a bar. That's the only time they really get active.
Yeah, sometimes restless leg isn't a syndrome. It's a benefit to your life.
That's why I ran from the cops. It was my legs. I didn't mean to.
They'll argue that in a court of law. Well, Your Honor, I mean, I don't know what I can do. I'm a victim of poor health.
I mean, after you tell them that, you don't have to say anything. HIPAA rights. Like, I can't, you can't ask me that. It's illegal for you to ask me that. And you should know that.
Yeah. To let you know, Akira Schmid is in fact a backup goalie for the New Jersey Devils. Capolita, I don't remember. I should have checked that. I don't remember what prescription it cures, but he is not a burly winger, Victor Capolite. But anyway,
you put the Victor on it. Good job. You threw me.
Yeah. Listen. So, all right. Now let's get to it. Let's try to make them hockey fans. And as we record on this Valentine's Day, 2024, I think this is a good place to jump in, Eddie Spaghetti, for a newbie. You have, it's on national TV, so easy to watch. You have the Florida Panthers, perhaps the best team in their conference, playing the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are scratching and clawing just to try to get into the playoffs. The Penguins are a good starting spot because they tell you your history of the century. Isn't that fair, Spaghetti? They're the best team of the century. And I don't want you to say push back on me right now with your Tampa Bay Lightning crap. That's not the point. The Penguins are the best team of the millennium, and they have the biggest stars of the millennium. They're old now. Maybe they belong in a museum. Nevertheless, they do represent the last 20 years better than any team in puck. Is that fair, Spaghetti? This is a good entry point for Sarah and Eddie.
I would not give. I with you on the Penguins, but the asterisk is I don't think the Lightning's reign is necessarily over yet because they still have Vasilevsky and Kucherov is still putting up a crap ton of points this year. So I would be afraid of that a little bit. I think if that's a game you want to watch to get them into hockey, I would say probably not, just because the Panthers are not the best. The Panthers are not the best team in the conference. They're very good. They're having an underrated season. They're a fun team to watch, but I would probably just start off with the game with, I think the easy basic answer is just watch an Edmonton Oilers game just to see the best player potentially of all time in Connor McDavid.
Ah, he's not the best player of all time. Settle down. But okay. I do like where your head's at. And Spaghetti and I talked about this offline quickly before we jumped on today, because we want to steer Tiana in the right direction. Now, Eddie, you have some Philadelphia roots. I'm sorry. You get the Flyers. That's it. I'm sorry. They haven't won a Stanley Cup since 1975, but your bet is made. I can't.
Broad Street
it.
Bullies.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, they're a ridiculous team. And in this millennium, they still love that they used to beat people up all the time. It's like, that has gotten you zero Stanley Cups in half a century. But continue with that. Anyhow, that's your team. Now, Tiana, Eddie Spaghetti had some good ideas here. Go ahead, Spaghetti. Let her know.
Well, obviously, we all know Sarah from Atlanta area. You have the Atlanta Thrashers, who are now, Danny Heatley, Marian Hossa, Ilya Kovalchuk, some of my favorite players growing up. That team then ended, moved on to become the Winnipeg Jets. Right now, a very good team in the league, probably one of the more boring teams to follow. But I feel like just because I don't like the people who move to a town and then adopt the local town's team, I feel you got to go with your roots. So don't become a Kings fan. And yes, this is coming from a Rangers fan who despises the Kings because of the 2014 Stanley Cup. But I will say you have to now root for the Winnipeg Jets.
Eddie Spaghetti's team, by the way, has won a Stanley Cup one time in the last 80-something years. So heed his counsel. He understands being a have-not in this sport. So he knows what he's talking about. How say you on that one, Tiana? The other one is, of course, as an older man, I will say they already had a hockey team in Atlanta, helmed between the pipes for about 2 weeks. In the glow of the 1980 U.S. men's hockey team vanquishing the Russians, Jim Craig, the Olympic hero, who then got like a DUI or something and worked himself out of the league very quickly. Nevertheless, that happened in Atlanta for the Flames. Then they moved to Calgary and now still play up there. I think those are your two teams, Winnipeg Jets or the Calgary Flames. How say you?
Well, Calgary, I kind of have a connection to already. My friend played there. There's a couple friends that played on that team.
Tell us who. We're mooks. We love to hear who these guys are.
Robin Regier and Jamie McClellan were on up there. I think Jamie was the goalie coach when Robin was playing. And then Robin.
They have nice uniforms, the Flames.
And then Robin came to the Kings. And like that's when I was like, okay, I'll be a Kings fan. And then they ended up winning the cup.
What else is good about the Flames? Same color scheme as the Atlanta Hawks. So you can wear a lot of the same merch.
Yeah. Gold and red. Got the Flames coming off. But it seems like whoever you pick is going to win the cup, if that's what happened when your friend came to the Kings. So choose wisely. Yeah, maybe the Flyers. Philadelphia Flyers?
Why should I pick the Flyers?
You shouldn't.
Because you're friends with me.
There's nothing good about that. Black and gold. Now, jumping in at a great point. You're honoring, you're genuflecting to the best. That would be a great place to jump in, except that they're probably going to be bad for 15 to 20 years as soon as Crosby retires, and real bad. But don't let that bother you right now.
I'm also redneck that I love Stampede, so I'll probably have to go with the Flames to go with Calgary.
Yeah,
I like Stampede. That. I like that choice. Sorry, Eddie Spaghetti and Eddie Gosling, but you're right. I should be a Flames fan.
The worst name team is the Nashville Predators. Predators, you're still going to you could change that. If we're changing other names, we can change Predator too.
I always wanted rookies who get drafted by the Predators to have to go door to door in Nashville and introduce themselves to everybody in town. I'm a predator.
Oh, yeah, when they visit other towns to play, like they go to like New Jersey and like, hey, I'm a Predator and I'm here for the weekend.
Tell you that I'm here for the weekend.
There are like 20 Predators all of a sudden showing up. Do you see that? I looked on the app this morning. There were like a big addition. That's hysterical. Yeah, I think as I've said about that team name, that we're giving you your a brand new hockey franchise at the highest level. Like, we got to come up with a good name. We should come up with a ferocious beast. Great. Mm-hmm. Our work is done. Let's go to lunch. Like, don't you want to identify a particular fearsome beast? No, no. Just all Predators. They're just all anyone.
If they name their hockey team that, what are they going to name their baseball team when they come to town?
Huh? It's just the Groomers.
Yeah, the Groomers.
They're just like, as they groom the infield, they'll be like, no, it's just the guys that get the game ready, get the ballpark ready.
A lot of people here have beards.
Yeah, it is weird that you have, the NHL has the best player names, but the worst team names. The Minnesota Wild, which describes the outdoors. That's what the Wild is. It's get out in the Wild. Like, what?
Singular team names are always weird.
It's an area
without an S. You're like, why doesn't your team?
Think about being like somebody in the marketing department there. They're like, so the Wild, that's okay. I got to figure out that was Miami Wild. Heat. Like, they're trying to come up with things. The Heat.
That's the worst. It's the worst. Yeah. It has been a plague that we have rolled over and accepted, and no one has ever figured out. I mean, I have figured it out. I know that it is correct to go plural when you talk about the Miami Heat are a good team, not is a good team, but that still is available to you. It's almost as bad a plague, really, as RBIs when fancy pants is go like, he has 105 RBI on the season. Who are you trying to impress with that? You know,
or my friend that always would go, he'd say NC2A. I'm just say NCAA. Don't say NC2A. It makes me want to vomit every time you talk about. And he knows college football, but he's trying to tell me he really knows it because that's what we say, NC2A.
Well, listen, we've learned a lot in this episode.
Go to HELL.
I don't know.
Double hockey sticks.
I love that guy. I love that guy. Like he's a gentleman. He's not going to use a curse word, but H E double hockey sticks you. Yeah. I think my learning moment of this episode was that Jalen Hurts is handsome. I guess I can piece that together.
He's on magazine
covering. He and Travis Kelce both seem to reside in like 1996 fashions, right? Is that what's tripping me up there? Because they have the same haircut, that very
you just mean
tight.
The tight, earrings, maybe the haircuts goatee. Might do it, but he's a good-looking guy, man. You check out some of those covers.
Swift cleaned him up real good. She's like, Travis, we're going to date, but no more goatee. Grow the beard out or shave it completely. Do you think that's a fair hypothesis, Sarah?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah.
Like, yeah, come on. We don't do this. It's the
she's adulted him up quite a bit. You know, he got a house.
He really has.
He got rid of the bachelor pad. He has a house. You know what I mean? He's like, you know.
He's not exclusively dressing in jumpsuits anymore, like tracksuits. Like he's a Russian Uber driver.
That's what he got everybody, I think, for Christmas. He got people tracksuits.
Of course he did.
Yeah. And his brother was like, I'm so glad you didn't get me one. And he's like, actually.
Thought experiment for you is what if Andy Reid had fallen down when Travis Kelce bought them? I mean, Pedro Martinez threw Zim to the ground and they were rivals. If Andy Reid had fallen down at the Super Bowl, would the reaction still be what it is? I mean, I'm not trying to take Travis Kelce to task because I know he didn't want to bump into his old man coach who he loves, but still it was a bad look that the those red eyes, he was so he was seeing white and everything. It was a bad look. And I just thought like, oh my God, like we talked about it on -3 earlier this week, but for your sake, Eddie Gosling, if that had been AJ Brown, what's the reaction? Like what, you know, like,
oh yeah.
If AJ Brown had bumped Sirianni,
I think it would have been like, a different reaction.
Oh, I would have had like Swift on all fours behind Sirianni as AJ hit him from the top. So he goes over. Mm-hmm. It was apparent. Like halfway through the season, our coach is only there for the zip line. He literally is like, he's not, it's just, that's when you prove how good of a coach you are, when things are tough and you're able to like squeak out these wins. And we're losing to like Tyrod Taylor and like, just, I mean, the Cardinals come back to like, Gannon comes back to Philly and beats us. That cost me $1,000 because I'm in this like pool that I won last year by myself. And then this year I had to split it because we tied at the end of the year with somebody else. And had they beat the Cardinals, I would have got it all again.
Yeah.
That was the craziest. I still can't get over them losing that one. As Daniel Jeremiah said to me a few weeks back, he's like, Nick Sirianni is there to be the vibes guy. And when the vibes are this bad, what is he doing then? Really?
Right.
It is an interesting one. But Eddie Gosling, really fun to get to yap with you.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
One of the 31 have-nots in the NFL. You have your
for the next team. 10 years. Next 10 years. Titles. All the fingers are filled.
So all those rings you're going to win, plus you have Wembanyama, plus you have the Flyers. I have no NBA team. Tiana now has the Calgary Flames. And I think we've settled all hash then. Make sure you go check out Eddie Gosling. Find him on social media, but also track him down in Austin, Texas, Cap City, April 10th. We appreciate the time with you today. And Sarah, Tiana, final thoughts from you.
Oh, go Flames.
And you're going to... I do think you watch objectively the Penguins and Panthers.
Yeah, no,
and then we're gonna find another one.
And then I'm gonna give you my full report on the game next week and tell you what I saw, what I noticed, and my hot takes from the game.
Excellent. Except programming note for Sarah and the audience. Yeah. We're off next week, but then so it'll be 2 weeks. This is gonna become iconic over the next fortnight, this last hour that we got to spend together here, because it's got an extra week for you, the listener, to listen to it four times over. We appreciate you doing that and checking out everything on the Extra Points Network. So for Sarah Tiana, Eddie Spaghetti, and Eddie Gosling, and everybody at the network, thanks so much, sports fan. It's been a thin slice of heaven. Go Flames indeed.